And do you know how many people would probably, like, run away at the sight of dismembered legs?
Yeah. Dude, there is a 4-foot bong and a bag of wheat by your bed.
Tiddlywinks, the parlor game for nerds, is nearing extinction.
It's in my pod! It's in my pod!
I will find proof.
I'm very easily startled, Mr. Fingerman. I don't know which regulation body would regulate the penis ring that you were talking about earlier.
I'm ready to remain conscious as we record this show.
Hey, welcome to Medical Stuff. My name is Mark. Oh, excuse me. Franco, and that is Chris. Yeah, smell that one, buddy. Fingston, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I don't know if I would be the deeper fart, though, between the two of us.
Well, mine was a belch.
Oh, yours was a belch. Oh, gotcha. Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. Now, I feel like I have precise tone control. So,
like melodic level or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I actually do a really good rendition of Stairway to Heaven through my bunghole.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which actually puts the people in you around in hell. So yeah. It's kind of a, you know.
It's all biblical. It's all biblical. So I sent Mark a picture, and Mark, feel free to put that picture on our social media. I'm currently recording because I care so much about this podcast and about you listeners. I'm actually recording from a truck. Right now, I have a mixer, a laptop, and a microphone stand all crammed in the front cab of a Dodge Ram 3500.
And I will definitely pull that. I will definitely put that up on social media if you make me a promise.
What's the promise?
If somebody calls the cops on you and they come out and talk to you about hanging out creepily in your pickup truck, we need to get a picture of that also.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'm sure they're listeners. They're like, hey, you guys listen to medical stuff? No. Hey, what have you been getting arrested? Ow. But... No, the other thing...
Just keep rolling.
...is I can't turn the AC on because it blows out the audio, so I am sweating my ass off in here. And we'll actually talk about that in a little bit, but one of the things that I wanted to bring up is...
you sweating your ass off is going to be a topic for discussion.
Oh, it is. It is. So when you're a paramedic partner, when you're a paramedic in an ambulance, you have a partner, and it's the two of you about 5 feet away from each other for 12 hours a day. Sooner or later, with rare exception, I'm not going to say this never happens, this always happens, but sooner or later, you're going to break wind in front of each other. It's just going to happen. And you can tell what kind of partnership you have based on which window your partner rolls down. So if your partner farts, if your partner farts and they roll their own window down, solid partner. Because that's going to waft it out.
Yeah, they're trying to get it away from you, yeah.
Yeah, but if they look over at you, they roll your window down, that's getting sucked right towards your face and they don't even care. You did something to them. You have wronged them and they want you to know.
I had a partner early on, a guy named Chuck, and he really, there was a particular taco fast food chain in Oklahoma. I think it was Taco Mayo. Is Taco Mayo up here? No, it's in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's definitely not. I've never heard of Taco Mayo up here in the Oregon area.
It wasn't the day of that was the problem. It was the next day.
That's and a you solid don't realize taco how big of a right problem.
I'm telling you. You don't know how big of a problem is until it's the middle of January and like 14 degrees outside and you're doing 65, 70 down the highway running code 3 with your head stuck out the window.
Although, if you're going to get a smell out of a car, lights and sirens, windows down is the way to do it.
Right, exactly. But it still it had hang time, you know. So his wife was always angry at me because I'd only let him go on our last day of the week. So that's the next day when he was at home, I would because his wife also worked at the company as a supervisor. So, Kathy, if you're both are listening, I apologize profusely for all the times I did that.
It's funny. So, one of my jobs, one of my tasks, I guess you could say, at my agency is I make sure that new ambulances are appropriately certified and that they're ready to go when we buy them. And we recently had, well, it just got done with its inspection, but it had a few, some work to get done beforehand. I was doing the pre-inspection and the rear exhaust vent wasn't working. And one of the mechanics asked, like, so how big of a deal is that? I'm like, oh, that's a big deal. That is a big deal because there's a vent back there that when things start stinking, you turn this thing on, it sucks air right out the top of the ambulance. It can't always overcome anything. And usually you're still going to smell whatever it is, But whatever it is going to be made 10 times worse if you can't vent it out. And so when they're asking, how big of an issue is that? Oh, it's huge. It's huge.
Well, I tell you what. Let's go into your boss's office. And we're going to hotbox you, okay?
Lay one down and close the door.
And you can't leave. Yeah, and you can't leave for like 15, 20 minutes. How about that? yeah, if it gets really bad, I will turn on the power vent and then put on the air conditioning. And if at all possible, sit right behind the patient underneath the air conditioning so it's blowing it away from me towards the back of the ambulance and then being vented out the top. Very important.
Oh, absolutely. So today's topic is gas. It's burps and farting. That's what we're going over today. It's inspired by my son because I asked him what he wanted to learn about. He is six and he just said farts. So we're going to be talking about burps and farting today. So today we talk tooting. We talk belching. Burping and farting, there are two things that we get to deal with on a day-to-day basis. There are legendary tales of passing gas, and bubbling bellies are just about part of everyone's memory. You have those fabled family members, offensive friends. I know that I have a family member who I'm not going to name, but is famous for the level of smell that he was able to put out after eating some weird broccoli sandwich that he made. There was a section of the house that just was not usable for a little bit. It was bad.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Brother.
No.
Dad.
Yes. Anyway.
I was going to go with dad first of all, but I thought, you know.
But either way, I mean, creating burps and farts, it seems like a harmless, maybe disgusting, but in my opinion, often funny pastime. But here's the thing, though. Is it harmless? And what causes a burp? What makes up a fart? Are they really all harmless? Today we're going to look at what...
I haven't gone through the show prep yet. Is there a Blue Flamers Club reference in here?
No. What's a Blue Flamers Club? I know exactly what that is. The moment I said it. You know, I did not even talk about lighting farts on fire. So, Mark, if you want to, in the background, look up the science behind that and bust it out at any point, that can only help.
Yeah.
So I wrote this in the show prep. It's dumb, but I'm going to say it. Today we'll look into what causes gas expulsion from each end, what medical conditions it could mean, and probably tell a few stories of ambulance gas outs as we learn you some rootin' tootin' knowledge.
Rootin' tootin'. Oh, God.
All right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Pyroflatulence.
Ooh, that is a name. Pyroflatulence.
Mm-hmm. Or flatus ignition.
I'll tell you what, I was going to do this in more of a top-down manner, starting with burps and going to farts. But, Mark, why don't you take it away on what you have on flashes ignition first?
Well, okay, if that's cool with you. I mean, we can hold it until the fart section.
No, I'm interested in this
Let's
right now.
Let's see.
Often
it's producing a flame of a blue hue, hence the act being known as a blue angel, a blue dart, or in Australia, a blue flame. Not very original. I like Blue Angel, personally.
Oh, my God.
So, if you actually make a Blue Angel, is that your fart Patronus? If your regular Patronus isn't working, is that like your backup?
Yeah,
there you know.
It's your backup from your back door.
Backup, yeah. the fact that flatus is flammable and actually combustible... gives rise to much humor derivation, I'm sure it does. So you're capable of orange and yellow being the color of the flame.
What gases are being burned exactly? Because I want to say methane, but are there other gases that come out that light? Do we know?
I'm working on that. In order to fire fart, quote unquote... One must have a fart prepared in the anal cavity and a lighter ready. Let's see here. Let's go down to chemistry. That sounds the composition varies dramatically amongst individuals. Flatulence produces a mixture of gases with the following six as major components: carbon dioxide, hydrogen, hydrogen sulfide, methane, nitrogen, and oxygen.
Yeah, those all would contribute, as if I know what I'm talking about.
If it depends on what makeup of your colon is, or the gas in your colon is, on what it's going to be. What color? So methane is primarily going to be, or is going to be primarily a blue hue. Let's see here. The odor associated gas production. I'm trying to figure out if there's. Yeah.
Nice.
It doesn't really go into. Doesn't really go into what makes up the other colors, and I don't really have a good enough.
I'm actually just impressed at the color range, because the blue. To me, like a blue orange is what I would expect, but to know that there's more like yellow hues in there too. I mean, this is just.
Yeah.
Farts.
I wonder if that's the nitrogen or the carbon dioxide levels.
Like gas pluming from an anus, my knowledge has expanded. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And right. Burned out quickly.
All right, so burping. So we're going to start with burping.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. That's what we're talking about. It.
Well, no, but I really wanted to learn about that. That was good.
Okay, one more time. Pyroflatulence. I just think it needs to be said again.
God, pyroflatulence is awesome. And like, are you a... Hey, you're saying...
Pyroflatulomaniac?
Like, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, are you a pyrotechnic? Well, kind of. So burping. Google defines a burp as a noisy release of air from the stomach through the mouth. Through the mouth is the key part. Belching is your body's very normal way of expelling excess gas from the upper GI tract. So basically stomach and up. So it's your stomach. That's going to be your esophagus. But it's very normal. And that's all according to the Mayo Clinic. When pressure builds up in the stomach, gas pressure, the body will relax sphincters in the esophagus and allow the air to escape, often to amusing effect. So the sound of a burp is actually caused by air moving through the esophagus. So your esophagus is a meat tube, as we talked about in our digestive episode. And it actually lays kind of flat when nothing's going through it, and it stays closed, essentially. Just imagine it like a floppy hose with no structure. If you lay it flat, it's just going to close on itself. Well, when you burp, you're basically releasing a ton of air bubbles that are going to come up through that meat flap. And as they escape, that meat flap, that meat tube, is going to be slapping shut. And it's going to do that many, many times per second as gas and air escape. And it's going to make a burp sound as it does it. So that is what makes the sound of a burp. The odor
can
of...
Can I step in here with something really quick about...
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
No.
I got to stop reading this stuff, apparently. So most of the time, the flatulence burns with a yellow or orange flame. That's the more common.
Okay.
However, if you are a member of the population that produces flatulence high in methane, you may yield a blue flame. This is relatively uncommon. So producing the blue angel or blue dart is considered sort of a special talent in certain circumstances.
You know, to me, though,
certain circles. Sorry,
I almost want to know, like, what kind of fart, like, what kind of flame I have. Like, I feel like.
So I need to buy a new microphone because after we got done with the after we got done with the podcast,
got tiny.
I ran to the store real quick and got a lighter.
But tell the insurance company, how'd you lose this piece of equipment?
And to bring this all back around to sew it all up for you.
Okay.
Eating foods high in sulfur, such as broccoli.
Okay.
Cabbage or kale.
Okay.
May enrich the methane content in the flatulence. So your dad not only shut down a part of the house, but he made it a fire hazard also.
I'm actually going to say that my dad's a chemist. That's what he is. So anyway,
back to burping. Go ahead.
But anyway, so yeah, as the air bubbles escape your esophagus, it's going to make that kind of vibration of that meat tube, and that's the sound you hear. So, again, the most common cause of belching is swallowing excess air. So this can occur in a few different scenarios. So first off, eating too fast. When you eat too fast, certain actions become imprecise. So like any rapid movement... You're trading accuracy for speed. So think about like sprinting and then trying to come to a complete stop. If you're going balls to the wall as fast as you can, and all of a sudden someone's like, stop. Well, it's not going to be as easy to stop on a dime as if you're walking. Well, eating is going to be the same thing. If you're eating a lot of food and you're eating it quickly, you're swallowing a lot, you're chewing less. And what you're going to do is you're just going to allow air to go in with the food. And when you chew less, the food is also of a less denser consistency, and there's an opportunity for air to be trapped within the food itself. Another thing that can cause excessive burping is carbonated beverages, and this also includes beer. So fizzy drinks, they get their fizziness from carbon dioxide gas. And when the liquid comes in contact with other stomach contents, the carbon dioxide gas will be released. This also happens just with...
Have you ever had this happen?
Never.
Me neither.
Yeah. Weird. Coca-Cola has never made me burp. So this happens also from mechanical agitation. So if you ever like shake a Coke bottle, you see all the fizz happen. That's a bunch of gas releasing. It's the same story in your stomach. Your stomach will sit there and churn it and mechanically agitate the carbon dioxide out of there as well.
So have you ever taken your beer bottle and tapped the top of someone else's and it fizzed over?
Yes.
So if I physically picked somebody up and bonked you on the top of the head with them, would that make the gases in your stomach bubble over?
You know, it's worth trying. I don't see any side effects to that. So yeah, basically this gas gets released in your stomach and it's going to sit there until it's enough pressure that the body says, out! And then it's going to relax those sphincters in the esophagus and it's going to come up and you're going to get a burp. So gum and hard candy, if you want to reduce your burping, avoid them. Here's why. Chewing gum and sucking on hard candies creates excess salivation. You then swallow that saliva without any food bowls to go with it. You often end up swallowing saliva and air. So that can lead to some excess air swallowing. Once again, more air in the stomach. It's got to come out. And finally, don't smoke. I mean, there's more reasons than this to not smoke. But,
Right. We'll add this to the very, very long list of just quit smoking.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, frequent inhaling is just more opportunity to swallow air. And what I hope, those are someone out there who's...
Although, yeah, man, I just can't quit smoking. Wait, this is making me belch more?
Yeah.
This is my last cigarette.
That's exactly...
I hope this is the line for people. You know?
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking. Someone's sitting there and their doctor's like, you're going to get lung cancer and you have emphysema. And they're like, fuck it. Someone's like, and you're going to burp a lot. That's it. I'm done. Where's that commercial?
Crap, I didn't know that.
Where's that commercial? Because you got the one lady who like sits there and she's smoking through a hole in her neck. What about the guy that can't stop burping? That would convince a ton of people.
Come on, truth.org. Let's get it. Let's get the truth out there, you know?
They call me Burping Barry.
So when does this become a problem, Chris? Belching itself really isn't a problem.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, inappropriate times, or I do have to tell a story about my mom. We were at the Rogue out in Astoria. Have you been out there? It's on a pier. It's a really cool place. If you're ever out in Astoria and you're looking for a place to eat, go to the Rogue on the pier. It's an old cannery pier, and they've got like a museum and stuff like that. Anyway, we're all sitting there having dinner, and my mom went to say something, and she let out the longest, loudest belch.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. To the point, I mean, like, people at other tables turned to look to see what was going on. And everybody looked at me, first of all. I'm like, it wasn't that. We all looked at my mom, and the look on her face, she had no idea that was coming.
Oh, my God.
That's... Now, for those of you who don't know my mom, she's a very sweet little British lady. She's... Yeah, I mean, this thing was impressive.
Wow.
It had resonance. It carried, the sound carried. It had length.
Did anyone applaud?
Oh, yeah. We all laughed and cheered. And I thought my sister was going to pee herself over it. She was laughing so hard. So usually if belching is impacting you in a negative way, such as, you know, stopping dinner, it can be resolved by making changes that we mentioned, some of the changes we mentioned earlier. However, if those changes don't seem to be resolving your belching, there are a few other things. GERD, right?
The GERD.
This is gastroesophageal reflux disease. Also, some people call it accompanied with heartburn, you know. Basically, is when the stomach acid goes the wrong way and causes pain. So these are the people that are taking Tums or taking Protonix or some sort of... pump inhibitor for the acid in their stomach.
Yeah.
The esophagus. Yes, that's right. Left in charge of people's lives daily. Thank you.
There
Thank
he
you
is.
Very much.
Boom.
The esophagus typically allows food to go from your mouth to your stomach. ingird the muscle at the bottom of the esophagus, which is called a sphincter muscle. Now, a lot of people associate the sphincter muscle with your rectum, which also is a sphincter muscle, but you have quite a few sphincter muscles around your body. That's not the only one.
Yeah, in this case, this one's called the lower esophageal sphincter.
Wow, that's original.
Yeah, I know.
Boy, some really put some work into that one, didn't they?
Actually, why not, you know, come up with something neat like Bradley or Constable?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry, but Bradley's letting you down. So, but it doesn't close the way it's supposed to, allowing stomach contents to travel back up into the esophagus. This causes pain and burning. And also, if it goes on for too long, it can actually cause varices, right?
Yes, it can.
So esophageal varices are actually little holes in your esophagus, which, if not treated and left on their own, could eventually pop because your esophagus is very vascular.
Yeah, esophageal varices specifically is when the veins in your esophagus become engorged. They become enlarged. And if they break in there, it's all hell breaks loose because stopping the bleeding in there is insanely hard to do.
Right. Just jamming gauze down their throat apparently is no longer done in EMS.
Right. It's not. Oh,
So there are many causes of GERD.
I think I need to self-report something.
From hereditary to diet. What?
Nothing. I think I need to self-report something.
Or at least change a chart.
Yeah. In the medical profession.
Just kidding.
Very much so. But in the medical profession, there's something called self-report, which is exactly what it sounds. You make a mistake, you self-report it. And that is the best way to handle a mistake. You don't cover them up.
No. The thing is, especially at our agency, we use a system called Just Culture, which promotes self-reporting. How it promotes this is there's no disciplinary action for clinical errors. Now, if you're making a ton of clinical errors, that becomes a behavioral issue, which is a different conversation. But if you make an honest mistake, they want you to report yourself. That way, if they see a bunch of people reporting themselves for the same thing, then they can do education for it in a more general manner, global manner for the system. Yeah.
Well,
improving the system.
Well, one of the things we found is we kept getting needle sticks. Providers were accidentally sticking themselves with needles, and we found that we had switched to a different brand of needle that when the cap came off, just the way it came off, it was a little stiff, and people were pulling hard on it, and they would pull really hard, and that would cause their hands to move quicker, and they'd get stuck. And so not only did we switch the brand of needles, we actually then switched to a needleless system, which, oddly enough, you take the needles away and people stop poking themselves.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, we still have needles, but there's a lot less.
Right. We just have better ones.
Yeah.
So they're dull.
Yeah. Yeah. They're spoons, actually. It's just...
So there are many causes of GERD, from hereditary to diet. Fatty and greasy foods can cause your stomach to produce more acid. I've also heard that spicy foods, but I think because... Yeah. Spicy foods tend to be fatty also, but more acid means more reactions with food and ultimately more release of gas. More gas production leads to a buildup of pressure in the stomach, which leads to...
A burp!
There you go. Hey, so esophageal cancer can cause excessive burping because of growth from the cancer can impede the esophagus and its sphincter's ability to close.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about sphincter muscles earlier. There are more than one in your esophagus.
Yeah, there's a few of them. Or there's two.
There's a couple of them. So,
yeah.
So, we had a lady who had esophageal and stomach cancer, and we were getting ready to move her off out of her bedroom. She was a very sick lady.
Oh, poor gal.
And as we sat, every time we sat her up, she belched. Now, the first time, another firefighter and I had a hold of her hands and we're helping her sit up, and she belched, not in our faces because we weren't that close, but it may as well have been. One of only two times in 25 years I've almost vomited on scene.
Oh, wow. Really? From a belch?
Yeah, and she was, yes. It was horrific. Let's just be honest.
Geez.
And she was apologizing, and I'm telling you, I'm like, you've done nothing wrong. Do not apologize, you know. But she felt horrible. The captain on the fire engine who was behind her and saw us was like, you two go outside, we'll get this. And when the next time they sat her up, she did belch again, but this time they were standing behind her helping her up rather than right in front of her.
Wow.
And it hung. I mean, she was belching on the way to the hospital. We had the power vent on.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We had the air conditioning on. We had the windows open.
And that is why that vent is important. Right there. That is why that vent is important.
I mean, yeah, sure, tuberculosis and, you know, airborne diseases, but no, GI bleeds and stuff like this.
Stinkiness. So it's kind of funny. So Mark, what Mark is telling right now, like every paramedic has had these moments where they were just somewhere they shouldn't have been. And they caught some body fluid, or in this case, body gas. And you can tell how many times that's happened by how much a paramedic looks like Neo from The Matrix whenever someone vomits.
Like, you develop a spidey sense, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. It's like rings on a fucking tree stump, man. Like, that's how you know. It's like, how fast is that paramedic to dodge that vomit? Oh, that's experience right there. We had a super duper... Oh, sorry. We had a super duper intoxicated guy the other day. And... all of a sudden, I kind of see him. He's laying in one spot. And he's not really doing. He's not moving at all. I mean, he's not like dead, but like, you know, he's drunk and he's kind of assed out, and his vital signs are good. But he needs to go to the hospital, and he kind of starts doing this thing where all of a sudden he kind of starts moving and he starts looking uncomfortable. And I'm like, there is only one reason this man would move a muscle right now, and it's because he's going to vomit. And so he starts to turn to the side, and then this cop, who is very familiar with the drunk vomit, quickly sits the gurney up, which I was impressed with how quickly he knew how to use the gurney. And when he does, and I had moved thinking the guy was just going to vomit where he was at. When he sits the gurney up, he essentially pushes this guy's mouth hole in my direction. And I just leapt out of the way, like ass cheeks forward and like where my upper body's trying to catch up to my lower body, and missed his vomit like perfectly. Like it went right where my legs were. But thankfully my quick little legs got out of the way. And so, this one cop was like, dude, you should do tap dancing. Like, you were quick. I'm like, yes, I was.
When properly motivated.
Yeah.
We had a guy.
Otherwise, I'm pretty slow.
On scene. we had a guy on scene when I was back many years ago. Was that you?
No, don't know what you're talking about.
You can go ahead and text me. I've already turned my phone down.
Right.
no, but anyway, so... there's a cop, an FTO, and a rookie cop. And we're taking care of this guy, and he all of a sudden does – he does that, ugh. And my partner and I split. The FTO moves to the right. The rookie's like, what's going on? And this guy projectile vomits right into the rookie's chest.
Yo, a chest shot.
Oh, man. It was – with splatter and everything.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my.
Yeah. And the FTO is like, dude, when you see medics moving out of the way, don't question it. Don't wonder what's going on. Just accept it that you don't want it and leave the area.
Yeah.
I had an intern one time who got vomit in her hair and on her forehead. She had like a chunk on her forehead and had to comb it out of her hair.
Oh, good gravy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you have a chunk on your at the hospital. I'm like, you have a chunk. She goes, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I will take care of it in a minute. Yeah, it was right in the face, leaning over, and the patient was spine boarded.
Oh, Jesus.
And she caught it right in the forehead.
In the face.
So esophageal cancer.
So basically, what a...
go ahead.
I know, you go ahead. I think we just concluded the esophageal cancer, but basically what it boils down to is...
Other symptoms, okay, well, because we, so other symptoms such as heartburn, pain, or difficulty swallowing, weight loss, are all more indicative of cancer, not just belching excessively.
Yeah, belching, you know, even when it's excessive, it's rarely cause for serious concern, and almost always resolved by changing your diet, eating slower,
right,
those things.
Taking pills to, Gas-X or Beano, which have simethicone in it, which will break down the gas in your intestinal system.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like death.
Yeah. But if you're concerned, if you take a bunch of steps and you're not seeing any changes, definitely contact your doctor. Don't hesitate.
Oh, yeah. And if there's ever pain with it, pain is not normal with a burp, then go contact your doctor. So.
Unless the induction of air is caused by a stab wound.
As long as it's, you should be fine. You should be fine. Actually, you know, here, I'm going to tell you guys this right now. Don't worry about consulting your doctor. Just listen to this show.
Right.
All.
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say the antithesis of that. don't take us as your final be-all end-all unless that final be-all end-all is go see a doctor.
Yeah.
That's actually truer. That's a little truer than what I said. See, when I said when I said don't see your doctor, listen to this show, what I really meant was see your doctor. And you probably should listen to this show less. Listen,
if you want to listen to the show on the way to seeing the doctor,
there you go. And then maybe you can school the doctor. Our primary goal on this show is absolutely entertainment. We just hope that we're right when we talk about stuff. Okay, like that's it.
Did you? I think it was on Facebook. Did you see the person who sent you a picture?
Oh, the Tiddlywinks?
No, this was just recently.
No, I got a picture sent to me.
Yes, it said, I figured Chris would enjoy this.
What was it?
It's on. Because Chris will just love this. It was on Facebook. And it's a picture of a guy. It looks like he's been shot in the abdomen. It says, I'm fine. My wife has an oil for this.
Oh, I have seen that. And to the listener that sent that, I do love it. Thank you very much. I did see that. That made my day.
That was AG. We don't have permission to use her name on. On the show, but we'll say her initials, AG.
Thank you, AG.
We both lolled on that one.
Yeah, no, I did see that. Thank you for sending that. We loved that. I loved it. but now on to the whole reason I wrote this show prep is farting.
Tootin', booty tootin'.
The fart, or flatus.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the fart. You gotta say it with some pomp and circumstance, man.
So, like its friend the burp, a fart is caused by a release of gas, except from your arse. Flatology, yes, that is a thing, is a scientific... Oh, yeah. That's the scientific study of farts. While commonly believed...
Now, do you think flatologists play tiddlywinks?
You know what? It sounds like some of flatologists would do. Like, if you ever saw someone playing tiddlywinks and you asked them, so what do you do for a living? I'm a flatologist. That fits.
Knew it.
And they look like Ross from Friends. Anyway, I'm just insulting people now. Here's the thing, though. I feel like I can say that because I am quite the nerd myself. Both Mark and I are fairly nerdy, geeky guys that would fit right in with Ross from Friends. Like, I would like that guy. Like, that guy would be my friend. Mostly because he sleeps with Jennifer Aniston.
I've got a comforter for my bed that is a map of Middle Earth.
There you go.
I have Han Solo and carbonite ice makers.
Why wouldn't you?
I know. I have Deadpool's head as a butcher's block for my knives.
That's a good place.
So you stick all your knives in his head.
Oh, God. But yeah, so...
So anyway, flatology.
So while it's commonly believed that farts are caused by a build of gas in the lower GI, mainly your intestines, it's also commonly accepted among flatologists that swallowed air may also enter the lower GI tract, especially in instances of underchewed food, meaning that gases that cause farts are not always originating in the lower GI tract, though that's certainly their last stop on the way out. Let's see. All right, so what actually causes a fart? Mostly it's fermentation in the lower GI tract. In biochemistry, fermentation is specifically defined as the extraction of energy from carbohydrates in the absence of oxygen, according to the Mayo Clinic. Now, a lot of people might be like, yeah, but, you know, there's fermentation in food, in the food industry. The food industry uses...
Well, we discussed that. We can discuss that disease where people actually get intoxication from the fermentation.
Yeah. And fermentation in the food industry is actually defined differently. That's basically in the food industry, fermentation is anytime you're using bacteria to break down anything. And it's specifically...
Well, they use fermentation in making cheese.
Yeah. Well, bacteria or any other microorganisms. In biochemistry, it's any time a carbohydrate is broken down in the absence of oxygen, whether that's by microorganism or not. But in this case, it is by microorganism. So this frequently occurs in the colon where bacteria breaks down carbs and it releases gas. This bacteria, provided it remains in balance, we'll talk about that later, is good for the body and it aids in the digestive process. So most of the gas produced by bacteria will gradually leave the colon or be expelled when you poop. However, if gas is not released gradually and is allowed to build up, the body will need to release it. It does this by relaxing sphincters. We've talked about sphincters quite a bit this episode. And contracting muscles to push the gas out your ass. As gas is expelled...
Getting your bubble gut.
Yeah. As gas is expelled, it causes nearby tissues to flap and vibrate. And there are primary... I'm going to put out the rest of this is just written by me. There are primarily two instruments in this anal orchestra. First off... There's the anus/anal sphincter. the gatekeeper of your poo-zoo, if you will, when the gas...
I don't think I will, actually.
All right, fine. Don't. When all the cool kids are calling it the poo-zoo, you'll be the one that doesn't.
I think it's just you and Spencer.
It's not even Spencer at this point. It's just me. So,
I think Spence will join you on that one, though.
I think you're right. So when gas is released through your stink hole, it vibrates. This is responsible for higher-pitched sounds or squeaks depending on a few factors, such as the size of the lumen, which is the actual hole in your anus that the gas is coming out of.
Okay, wait, stop.
What?
You can't go from poo-zoo to lumens and... You're all over the place here, man. You're all over the place.
So, the larger the lumen, the less, the more deeper the pitch is going to be. And if the lumen is large enough, that's where you get your silent but deadlies. Basically, it's large enough or the gas is not forceful enough to cause enough vibration. Also, tautness of the sphincter itself, which is determined by how much muscle contraction is going on during the time of gaseous release. So adjusting your rectal tone is a direct way to affect the pitch and trombay of your fart.
So what you're trying to say is the lumen size and the tautness of your poo-zoo gate is what's going to make the determination on this. Is that what I'm getting from this little segment right here?
Yeah, you know what? My point's been made, apparently. Like, that's good. And do you know, and here's the thing, I recently learned the word trombay when I was reading an article about if music is objectively getting worse or not these days. And trombay is basically the musical contrast in a song. So a song that has more musical range has higher trombay.
So if you're a part of the Blue Flamers Club and it makes a noise, do you flambé your trombé?
I think you are. Well, no, you trombé the flambé. Because the trombé is going to happen before the flambé. Anyway, so the second instrument. The second instrument is the butt cheeks. So butt cheeks play a role in the sound of your fart as well. Most farts occur in a close-on situation. Keep that in mind. So though it's not required for the cheeks to make sweet music, clothes do keep the cheeks in a place that's typically somewhat closer than they would be otherwise, often enhancing their impact on the sound. So as gas is released from your bunghole, it's also got to pass by the oft-pressed-together cheeks.
Okay, bunghole, poo-zoo, and lumen all in two paragraphs.
Yeah, oh yeah. So these cheeks will flap as gas pushes through them, creating the much more bassy sound or even like a clap. A few things affect the pitch. So there's going to be the size of the cheeks, the tone of the cheeks. So is it a flabby ass? Is it a muscular ass? And then present.
Oh, my God.
I worked on this for some. I'm hanging out with my parents actually tonight. I was actually sitting on the couch writing this, and just my dad looks over and he goes, "What kind of intellectual pursuit is this?" And yeah,
none, not one bit of intellectual pursuit.
So yeah, size of cheeks, tone of cheeks, and then present moisture. So note, a wet fart can occur for a few reasons. If the farter has been sweating and moisture is present in the intercheek space, a wet...
Excuse me, just a second, sir. Grammar police are pulling you over now.
Oh, gotcha.
Please pull to the right. Please pull to the right of the paragraph and stop. That would be intra-cheek space. Wouldn't inter-cheek space be between two people's cheeks?
You know what? You're quite possible there. Okay. Never mind.
We'll
have to revisit that later.
This will be a warning. This is just a warning, sir. Please move along.
Okay. So, thank you, officer. I knew I wore this low-cut shirt for a reason. So anyway, if the fire's been sweating...
Works every time.
...and moisture is present between the cheeks, we'll just say that, a wet sound will be heard as moisture is displaced. Additionally, in the case of what we call a grandpa's gamble, a small amount of loose stool may exit the anus and wind up being ping-pong between your two butt paddles like a spoonful of Sloppy Joes in the cushions of a vibrating chair from Brookstone. Brookstone, the makers
Good
of quality...
Lord. Good Lord. You're not allowed to make, you're not allowed to do show prep without being proctored, okay?
I don't know. Oh, without being proct what? Proctologist? Anyway. So yeah. I'm sorry. Hey, there
I
you
saw
go.
A thing on Facebook the other day said, nobody over the age of 30, everybody over the age of 35 has bet on a fart and lost.
Right. Absolutely. But I would like to point out that today's sponsor is Brookstone, maker of fine home goods that you never knew you needed.
Yeah, I'm sure
and we can say this because they are out of business. And so.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they don't exist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're done.
That's good.
Yeah, they closed up shop. So, vibrating. I'm proud of that sentence.
So the smell of a fart has many contributing factors, but mostly revolves around two things. The amount of carbohydrates being processed by the bacteria and other microscopic contributors not involved in the actual fermentation process, but may be expelled along with the gas to produce varying odors.
So one of the things I will say about a fart is every fart you push out is going to have some moisture content to it. It's going to have particulates that are not gas accompanying with them. And a lot of those, and that is actually what makes up a lot of the smell, is going to be those particulates, not the gas itself. And so...
Right.
When you hear people eating foods like broccoli and those kind of things, and it's like, oh, well, broccoli does have a lot of fiber, and fiber does actually lead to more gas production.
Well, it's also got a lot of sulfur, we heard earlier, and that's what causes the methane smell.
Yep, absolutely.
Easy high amounts of methane.
But the gas, the smell of the gases is fairly consistent. So you get that, the flavor, if you will, is far more determined by what you eat and what is actually not involved in the actual production of the gas, but rather what is coming out with the gas. Okay.
Okay.
So when is farting a problem? Well, anytime you're trying to get a date, really.
Depends on who's farting.
Absolutely. And when. Trying to get a date, hold it in. So excessive gas can usually be resolved by adjusting your diet, kind of like burps. Because fiber is actually a carbohydrate, but it's not digested in your stomach and it's really not used. Your body just kind of passes it on through. It is primarily digested by bacteria in your colon, creating the gas. And so this is actually a side effect of high fiber diet. That's why fiber does actually help keep you regular in terms of your bowel movements. It does leave more carbs, because fiber is a type of carbohydrate, in your colon for the bacteria to chew on. So foods high in fiber are beans and peas, which I think is pretty commonly known amongst the farting community, amongst the Blue Angel community.
Would you be referring to legumes?
Legumes, I would be. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains. Going to get a lot of fiber there and lots of farts. So like burping, a fart in and of itself isn't really a problem outside of general discomfort and offensive smells that come with it. Farts can, however, indicate other serious problems. Two such problems, and this is actually from our digestive episode. If you want to, go back and listen to that. That was actually a good episode. We did that one with my dad. So when we talk about...
go ahead.
I was saying, we talk about... Because earlier in this episode, we talked about esophageal varices. If you want that in depth and how that's caused also by like alcoholism, for example, our digestive episode has a really good breakdown of that. That was actually one of our more educational episodes. I went back and read that outline. I'm like, oh, wow, we cared a lot back then.
It's not this one?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not this one.
We still care, you jackass.
I know. We definitely care. Of course we care. So Crohn's disease. Crohn's disease is a chronic inflammation of the junction between the ileum of the small intestine and the cecum of the large intestine. So this is basically where your small intestine, which comes right off your stomach, and your large intestine hook up. It's an incurable disease, and it can cause persistent diarrhea, rectal bleeding, urgent need to move your bowels, abdominal cramps and pain, sensation of incomplete evacuation, like you still need to poop after you've pooped, and then constipation, which can also lead to then bowel obstruction. This is actually an autoimmune disease. Unfortunately, your immune system finds a problem with that section of your intestine and decides to consistently bother it, which causes inflammation. This inflammation doesn't allow bacteria to move through or causes an increase in bacteria. It will also cause because added heat will cause an increase in the amount of fermentation going on, which causes an increase in gas, which can cause, but not always, can cause an increase in farting. And finally, Clostridium difficile, or C. diff. A lot of people have heard about C. diff. So C. diff is a bacterium that resides in your colon. It's not always there. In fact, it typically isn't there, but a lot of people may have it and have absolutely no symptoms either. But you can spread it to others. So this is a bacterium that causes diarrhea and inflammation. It can actually get to the point that it can cause life-threatening dehydration or bleeding. So
in children and the elderly, they need to be hospitalized more often than not.
Oh, absolutely. C. diff is a big deal. And basically the reason this can cause increase in flatulence is it's just another bacteria that's also going to ferment carbohydrates. It's also going to create gas. And so someone with C. diff may have more gas than someone without, leading to excess farting. Here's the thing though. Just like burping, if you fart a lot, it's probably your diet. Right. But if you're trying diet changes, or if you notice that there's blood with your farting, if you have bloody stools as well, frequent loose stools, then you need to start seeing your doctor. So excessive farting is rarer than excessive burping. And so excessive farting is something you should be seeing your doctor about, especially if you have difficulty controlling. Because there is, just like esophageal cancer, colon cancer can also cause growths that may make it difficult for sphincters to close all the way, causing excess release of gas. So that is all I have on farting and burping.
God, I hope so.
I feel today's episode was a success.
Was or wasn't?
Thought it was great.
It's a good episode. I mean, it's an informative episode. It's a fun episode. You know, last week we did, I did pediatric events, kind of a dark episode. I think we've had a couple dark ones.
Yeah.
But we forgot something I was going to do at the very beginning of the show because we started talking about farts, Chris.
Oh, what were you going to do?
Happy Pride Month.
Yay!
Yes, this is the month of, this is Pride Month. Next week is Pride Week. We are supporters. Everybody here at Medical Stuff, which legitimately is just Chris and I.
Right. everybody here at Medical Stuff.
Are supporters of the LGBTQ community. And if you want to listen to an excellent episode, definitely go back and listen to our transgender identity episode. I hope, and I've heard from a number of people who I'm friends with or we work with, that it gives a decent description done by two very straight men.
Right.
You know, we don't leave the life, but that doesn't mean we don't support it, and it doesn't mean we're not trying to understand.
Absolutely.
And so we try to treat it with the respect it deserves. So this is Pride Month. Please remember that love has no labels. And to quote Michael Stipe, lead singer of REM, the only time you have to worry about what I'm doing with my dick is if you're sitting in my lap.
Fair enough.
So, if you have any questions for us, comments, concerns, complaints, kvetches, corrections, you can get a hold of us at you can get a hold of us on Twitter at MedSideStuff, MedSideStuff, on Instagram at MedicalStuff52, and we're also on Facebook at MedicalStuff.
If you want to send us an email, please, please do. You can get us at MedSideStuff@yahoo.com.
And if you are so inclined, go on to the local platforms and give us a review, preferably 5 stars, but whatever you feel is fair. Recommend us to your friends if you don't mind. And give us likes and love. And that way we can help expand and keep making the shows.
Yeah.
So that's all I have for this week, Chris. How about you?
No, I'm all set. I think we should wrap it up.
Okay. Well, you all have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you next week. And
toast.